Yeah, like I said or mentioned last week, that each of the gospel writers presents Jesus differently. I also mentioned that this week we would look at Matthew's presentation of Jesus through the conclusion of the biography that we call a gospel that he wrote about Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the King, who was to come. Now, Matthew seemed to have the intended audience as he wrote this book of Jews who were waiting for a king who would come and free them from, well, at that point in time, Roman occupation, but the occupation of whatever national entity was ruling at the time from before the Romans. And we can say that because throughout his telling of the story of Jesus' life and ministry, Matthew paints Jesus as a king, but as a different kind of king than what the popular opinion might have been expecting. One last time in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew makes use of this picture as he commissions the 11 disciples to be, as Paul will call them later in 2 Corinthians, ambassadors. Now, not just anyone can commission someone as an ambassador. No, it's the one who is leading a sovereign nation, a sovereign kingdom. In Matthew's case, writing about Jesus, it is Jesus the King who has the right and the ability to commission somebody to be an ambassador. And this king in Matthew's gospel turns out to be Jesus, the Messiah in Hebrew, or Christ in Greek. This morning we want to look at that commissioning of Jesus to his disciples. And while this commission was given specifically to the 11, it applies to each and every disciple of Jesus. And we'll see why as we look at and as we turn to and look at Matthew's account of the commissioning of the disciples in Matthew chapter 28. If you've got a Bible and want to turn there, we'll be at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. If you don't have a Bible, either a physical one or one on a device of some kind, I will have those up on the screen. But I realize they might be a little bit more difficult to read since you're having to see the screen over my right shoulder on the screen as you're watching this video. But this is what Matthew records. It says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the very end of the age.'" And in these verses, we see Jesus as the King commissioning his disciples to be ambassadors. To put the two thoughts together from Matthew chapter 28 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which we'll look at in a while. But what we see beginning in Matthew, in this part of his account of the life of Jesus, this conclusion to the life of Jesus as Matthew records it here on earth, he says that Jesus has authority. Jesus has the authority to commission the disciples. Jesus puts it this way when he comes up to his disciples. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus is saying that he now has all authority. If you go back to not the very, very beginning of Matthew's gospel, but the beginning of Jesus' ministry in the book of Matthew, in his record of Jesus' life, what you find is that at the beginning, Matthew records a period of temptation of Jesus, and then three specific temptations that Satan put to Jesus. And in at least one of those temptations, Satan puts before Jesus all of the earth and says, "Jesus, if you will simply bow down and worship me, I will give you authority over all of these kingdoms. It'll all be yours, Jesus." But fortunately for you and for me, fortunately for all of human life, Jesus didn't take the authority from Satan. He didn't take what Satan really didn't have to give it to Jesus. Rather, Jesus went to the cross. And Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus, throughout Scripture, it says that Jesus came to defeat the forces of evil, to overcome them, and to do away with their power. And Jesus came and he defeated Satan at the cross. And at the cross, after the resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven, where he now sits at God's right hand as the King. You see, what Satan tried to offer Jesus, God has given to Jesus. Because Jesus went to the cross, and because Jesus died for you and for me, because of that, God has given him all authority, not just on earth, but in heaven and on earth. And he has the authority as a king. He has been made king. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King of the heavens, and he is the King of the earth. And so all authority has been given to him as the King over his kingdom. And in fact, if we read the Scriptures, we find that Jesus not just has authority in heaven and on earth over everything, but Jesus even has authority over those who rebel against him. He has authority over Satan, who thought he could give Jesus authority. He has authority over Satan and his demons, the legions who follow him. And in fact, Scripture says that he even has authority over death. By the power of his resurrection, Jesus Christ has authority over death. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. He has authority over everything. And if you look at that passage, it says all authority. And I looked it up this week. The Greek word for authority is pass. And if you look at that word, you know what it means? It means all, or every, or everything. Jesus has all authority. Not partial authority, not some authority. He has all authority. and he has extended that authority. You see, Jesus says, I have all authority. And then he turns and he commissions his disciples. He gives his disciples some of that authority. Throughout Matthew's gospel, we see that Jesus gave his disciples some of that authority. He gave them authority to heal the sick, to be able to look at those who were sick and to figure out why they were sick and to heal them. He gave his disciples the ability, the authority to cast out demons. And he gave his disciples the authority to go and to make disciples. And we see Jesus giving this authority in pieces to his disciples throughout his ministry in all four of the Gospels. But we also see that Jesus gives them that authority in a new measure when he prepares to ascend into heaven here in Matthew chapter 28. He commissions his disciples to be ambassadors, to go into all the nations and to make disciples. But it isn't just to the disciples. It would be one thing if we read this story and we said that Jesus gave this authority to his disciples, and at the end of their lives, at the end of the lives of the 11, or maybe the 12, or possibly the 72, or the 500 that Paul says that Jesus appeared to at one time. If we stop there, by the end of the first century AD, by the year 100, we probably have no more people to go out into the world and make disciples. It's done. They have all lived their lives. Their course of the race here on earth is done. But Jesus doesn't let it stop there. You see, Jesus gives them the ability to continue to pass on the authority as ambassadors. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says that this is the case, as he says, lo, I am with you always, even until the very end of the age. I will be present with you. Whoever you is that is reading the gospel that Matthew records, I will be with you always, even until I come again. And we read in the gospel of John, and we read in the book of Acts that what Jesus was talking about was the fact that he would give his Spirit to the disciples, and he will give his Spirit to not just the first, the 11 apostles, and maybe we add Matthias, and possibly we add Paul. But it's future followers all the way to the end of the age. You see, we are called to do what disciples were called to do. Now, I'm not going to tell you that we're all going to do miraculous things in the name of Jesus. But I believe that there are times and there are occasions and there are places in this world where Jesus might do the miraculous through his praying people. But what I do know is that all disciples, everyone, even until the very end of the age, has been given the commission and given the authority to go and make disciples. And that brings me to the second thing. If Jesus has the authority and Jesus has passed on some of that authority to his disciples and to us as his disciples, then we need to ask, what is the task of a disciple? What is it that we as disciples are supposed to be doing? What is it that Jesus commissioned us as his ambassadors to do? Well, that's the first task. We are called to be ambassadors. The job of an ambassador is to go from one sovereign nation to another sovereign nation with a message from the sending kingdom. Jesus, as the king, is sending his disciples as ambassadors to go. We are called to go. To go into a world that's lost, and to go into a world that's dying, to go into a dark world. And sometimes that going is simply to your neighbor who physically lives next door, just down the street from you. Sometimes that going, the call of a disciple to be an ambassador, sometimes it is for you to go to your place of employment and to be an ambassador for the King of Kings in that place, and to let them know that Jesus is the one who has all authority. Sometimes that call is to go, well, the call to go and to work, maybe full time, for the kingdom. You know, that's what I do. That's what I am called to do. I am an ambassador whose job it is to be a teacher and a preacher. But here's the thing. As we go as ambassadors, we have only one message to take. Because that's the thing about an ambassador. An ambassador doesn't get to choose what the message is that they're going to take. An ambassador doesn't get to choose pieces of the message that they like, or they think will make the other person comfortable. No, an ambassador is called with one to go and to speak one message, and that is the message that the king has given them to take. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says it like this. He says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of God, be reconciled to God." The disciples' task is to be an ambassador, and an ambassador takes one message, that is the message from the king to another kingdom. And the message that we have as God's ambassadors is the message of reconciliation. It is the message that says you have sinned. And as a sinner, you deserve punishment. But God has sent Jesus Christ to reconcile us to God. And our message is to be to the lost and dying world a message of reconciliation. You see, Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 28. He says, make disciples. Go, and as you are going, as you are doing life, as you're going and visiting with your neighbor, as you're going to work and visiting with your coworkers, as you're going, make disciples. And what that means is that we are introducing people to Jesus. We're saying there's hope in your damaged life. There's hope in your broken situation. There is hope. There is hope for you in the midst of what seems helpless and hopeless. And we go to them and we introduce them to Jesus Christ. You see, we point out to them their need for a Savior. You see, nobody is going to find Jesus to be attractive if they don't see their need for what God offers through Jesus. And I know the world knows that they're sinning, that they are sinners. I know that they know that. That's where guilt comes in. That's the reason that in our world today we have a huge addiction problems to alcohol and drugs, to pornography. Because people are trying to find something that will remove the feelings of guilt. It's why we have an ever-increasing level of psychiatric problems. Depression and other psychiatric problems. Because people are trying to deal with guilt that comes from sin. But we need to help people see that need isn't... I'm not going to say that all psychiatric problems, all depression is linked back to a sin that we need to find an answer for. Sometimes it's life. And I understand that. But I'm also saying that I think a lot of the problem is that people need to understand that sin is real. And they are a sinner. And that the real answer to their problem is not drugs, is not alcohol, is not somebody giving them an answer to feel better. But rather it is their need for a Savior. And once we get them to understand that, then we can introduce them to Jesus as the one who is the Savior for their needs. Jesus says, go and make disciples. Making a disciple is helping somebody to understand their need for a Savior and introducing them to Jesus as that Savior. And once they have begun to hear the message of Jesus Christ, and we have introduced them to Him, when they come to a point where they are ready to move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light by the power of the Savior Jesus Christ, then we walk through them with them to the waters of baptism. Jesus says, go and make disciples. And how do we make disciples? We baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We baptize them saying that God now has authority over their life. We baptize them into the kingdom of God. And then Jesus says, we teach them to obey everything that He has commanded us. We teach them. And this is the same word, everything. And that everything is the same word as it was when Jesus has all authority. We are to teach them to obey all that Jesus has commanded. We are to teach them what it means to live as a follower of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. And so we go back and Jesus says the two greatest commandments, love God. So we teach people what it means to love God and what it looks like to live a life of loving God. And then we teach them, Jesus said, the second commandment is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we teach them to love people. And here's the truth of the matter. If we truly love God, we will love people. Because the greatest way to show our love to God is by showing love to people. We love God by loving our neighbors. And we love our neighbors because we love God. And so we teach people what that means. We take them to the gospel. If we were to be the readers of Matthew's gospel, and it was the first one that we'd read, and it was the only one we've read, what we could say is that we teach people to go back through the Gospel of Matthew and say, how does Jesus teach me to live? So we might go back to the Sermon on the Mount and say, what is it that Jesus teaches us about the right way to live? About how we live a blessed life? We go to the Gospel, the rest of the Gospel, where Jesus gives us instructions on how we live with our neighbors. And how we love God. And we walk people through that because that's what Matthew says. Matthew says that Jesus told them to go and teach them everything I have commanded you. And in Matthew's conclusion to his gospel, what he's saying is, you go back and you teach people to live what I have recorded for you that Jesus taught. But then we also have to teach them about the cost. Because while the gospel says that salvation is given freely, God holds it out there to freely give it to us. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to find the right path or say the right prayers at the right time every day. We don't have to offer the right sacrifices year after year. Rather, salvation is freely given by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We simply have to come to Him and accept the offer of salvation, which Scripture says we do through the waters of baptism. But here's the thing. We have to teach people about the cost of following Jesus because while it is freely given, it is not cheap. Paul says that we are God's workmanship, created for good works. Salvation might be freely given, but salvation is not cheap. It wasn't cheap to God to offer us His Son. It is not cheap for us as His followers. We are called to live in obedience, which sometimes means giving up things that we love for something we love more. Which sometimes means going to the dangerous place, not because we're guaranteed that we will be safe, but because we believe that God is with us always. And even if we suffer, that He will be with us through the suffering. The cost of following Jesus is more than simply coming to church on Sunday morning and giving a portion of your income. Well, it's no less than that. It is greatly more than that. It's giving up our hopes and our ambitions to find God's desire for our lives. It's giving up comfort and security to take the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. While Matthew ends his biography of Jesus with a commission for his 11 disciples, it is more than that. It is an invitation. It is an invitation to all who read Matthew's account of Jesus' life to enter into Jesus' kingdom through hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, calling on the name of Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. It is also a commission to all the citizens of Jesus' kingdom to go as an ambassador. It is not just a select few who are called to public ministry, full-time public ministry. It is not just those who are called to go overseas or to a different people group and serve as a missionary that are called to be ambassadors. It is each and every one of us who are called to be ambassadors. And ambassadors with the message of reconciliation. It is ambassadors with the message about Jesus' kingdom and the invitation to all people to come into the kingdom of Christ and to have life through Him. That is the call of each and every one of us. And this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, let me speak the words of Jesus Christ to you. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him. And you, follower of Jesus, sitting in the pews this morning, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that He has commanded. And yes, He is with you. And He will be with the disciples that come after you until the end of the age, until He returns. And this morning, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, He stands. The message that we bring to you this morning is an offer of salvation. If you have never said to Jesus, yes, I will follow you. You've heard the message this morning. I guarantee that you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. If you believe the message that Jesus has sent us to share, will you repent of your sins? Will you confess those sins and your need for a Savior? And will you come to the waters of baptism and ask Him to make you clean and to make you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? If you need to make that commitment, that decision, we'd love to celebrate with you. While I'm not here, the elders are, and they would do just as well to baptize you into the kingdom of heaven. They would do just as well to answer any questions that you might have or to help you find somebody who can answer those questions for you. So we're going to sing one more song. And if you need to make a decision for Christ, won't you come? As the worship team leads us in a time of worship.